This morning on WCHL, the town of Carborough wants to keep you safe on its roads, whether you're in a car or not.
Traffic calming and slow zones, this kind of concept on average produces crash reductions of about 30%.
Plans for the Rogers Road community continue to move ahead slowly but surely.
We have an opportunity to bring a community into the future.
And we'll check in on the state and local government races as the filing period reaches the halfway point. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, no snow is in the forecast for tomorrow's rescheduled matchup between Duke and Carolina, so maybe the Blue Devils can make it over. Plus, high school basketball postseason play is tipping off. By the way, we'll speak to Jones Angel, voice of the Tar Heels, in just a few minutes as well. And
don't look now, but our town is going Lady Gaga over basketball.
That's this morning at Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
52 degrees and wet this morning. We've had some thunderstorm activity, and we look for a big possibility of more rain all day. Also very windy later on in the day. High today about 70, like springtime. Slow zones might soon be coming to downtown Carborough. The Board of Aldermen gave the go-ahead last night for town staff to explore the feasibility of the proposed traffic calming areas, which some have said would reduce the number of pedestrian and bicycle-involved vehicle collisions. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
Traffic calming and slow zones, this kind of concept on average produces crash reductions of about 30%, according to the literature. And a lot of that just deals with being able to maneuver and stop quickly. So you see higher rates of yielding to pedestrians.
That's Seth Lajeunesse, chair of the Carborough Transportation Advisory Board. He explained that a slow zone is a small area with well-defined boundaries, setting average vehicular speeds of about 20 miles per hour. The zones are placed in areas with high pedestrian and bicycle activity and/or a history of vehicle accidents with pedestrians and bicycles. The majority of pedestrian collisions in Carborough happen along East Main Street, between Lloyd Street and Greensboro Street, and in the intersections in that area, including Weaver Street and Main Street. Lajeunesse explained that this is the area in which the Transportation Advisory Board hopes to implement the slow zone. Designating the zones has been accomplished in other cities by constructing artistic gateway designs. The goal is to distinguish these areas, signaling to drivers that they are entering into a new traffic zone and should slow down. Carborough Alderperson Jackie Giss said that the Carborough Arts Committee is working on designs currently that she believed would work for the gateway fixtures and would be a way to promote local artists. Giss added that she supported the idea of slow zones, but she wanted town staff to also include downtown businesses in the discussion and planning phases for the project.
I don't want it to be something that, here, downtown businesses, this is what we're doing to you. Would rather have it be that it's something that the downtown businesses feel that they're a part of and that they're doing it with us.
Other measures that complement slow zones are lead pedestrian intervals, bike corrals, and curb extensions. Carborough already offers bike corrals in locations across downtown. Though these additions would come at a high cost to the town, Lajeunesse said that he believed the safety and economic benefits would be worthwhile. He predicted calmer streets in the zones that would promote lingering and socializing in the area and result in more business for local shops. Alderperson Randy Haven O'Donnell supported the idea of pedestrian signals, but pointed out that Chapel Hill controls Carborough stoplights, so coordination efforts would be necessary.
I think it's inexpensive enough and it's important enough, and it's a great way to enculturate folks about wait time.
Slow zones are popular across New York City and in parts of Europe as well. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
The Rogers Road remediation plan has been in the works for almost 2 years now, but recently Chapel Hill and Orange County each took steps to move the plan forward. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Last night, Orange County commissioners unanimously signed off on an operating agreement for the yet-to-be-built Rogers Road Community Center. Once completed, the facility will be operated by the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or RENA. Minister Robert Campbell is the president of RENA. He told the board this is an important step forward for the neighborhood.
We have an opportunity opportunity to bring a community into the future. For our children, in the summertime, they have nowhere to go. But here we have an opportunity to help shape and mold them right here in the community.
Commissioners committed $650,000 back in January of 2013 to build the center on land donated by Habitat for Humanity. But the project was delayed last fall when construction bids came in over budget. County staffers say the building has been redesigned and the rebidding process should be complete by April. The community center is part of a remediation plan agreed on by representatives from Rena, Orange County, Chapel Hill, and Carborough to help make amends to the neighborhood that bore the burden of the county and municipal landfill for 40 years. The plan also includes extending sewer service to 86 parcels in the Rogers Road neighborhood at an estimated cost of approximately $5.8 million. Carborough has already set aside its portion of the total, about $900,000. Chapel Hill, however, is struggling to find a way to pay its share as the area is outside of town limits. Town staffers are currently investigating the possibility of creating a new utility district or extending the town's extraterritorial jurisdiction to include Rogers Road. In the meantime, the Chapel Hill Town Council voted last week to spend up to $77,400 on preliminary engineering studies and community outreach to determine exactly where sewer lines should go. Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt said this is work that will need to be done no matter what.
What this does is this moves the ball, even though commissioners and council members just keep talking.
The engineering studies and outreach are expected to take up to 10 months to complete. The Chapel Hill Town Council will revisit the question of extraterritorial jurisdiction on June 16th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
As fallout continues from the UNC athletic scandal around the nation, the situation is being watched closely by observers and critics of big-time college athletics as a whole. One of those observers is Taylor Branch, a Carolina graduate and Pulitzer Prize-winning author who's recently written a book entitled The Cartel. It's highly critical of the NCAA. Branch weighed in on the Mary Willingham situation last week with Carolina Connections' Daniel Shear, saying he can't independently vouch for Willingham's assertions about athletes struggling to read, but defending Willingham nonetheless for her willingness to come forward.
I think she's a courageous person, and I can't imagine that she would make up this evidence. Again, I'm not speaking to validate it, but I do speak to her character and motivation. I think she's trying to protect the academic integrity of the university. And I don't think it's right for people at the university to denigrate or question her motives. Frankly, that's common. It's certainly happened because, unfortunately, most people care more about the sports program than they do about the academic integrity of the school.
Mary Willingham has stated that she's not trying to attack the athletes themselves, that, in fact, she sees the athletes as the victims exploited by the college athletics industry in general and the NCAA in particular. Taylor Branch says he agrees with that wholeheartedly.
The NCAA turns the logical world upside down like Alice in Wonderland by saying, in fact, it's in their bylaws that it would exploit college athletes if they were to receive any compensation for their work. The dictionary definition of exploiting even mentions unpaid workers as an example of exploiting them if you don't pay them. The NCAA says you exploit them if you do.
You can listen to Branch's full interview with Carolina Connections Daniel Shear online at carolinaconnection.org. Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 on WCHL during the school year. Well, it's filing season for North Carolina political candidates, and here are some of the official contenders in national, state, and Orange County races so far. In the U.S. Senate race, three Republican candidates have filed to replace Democratic Senator Kay Hagan. They are Mark Harris, senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Charlotte, 38-year-old Heather Grant, a nurse practitioner from Wilkesboro, and former mayor of Shelby, Ted Alexander. Republican U.S. House Representative Howard Coble is retiring this year, and Republican Representative Phil Berger Jr., the North Carolina House, has announced his intention to replace Coble, although he hasn't filed yet. The seat has been held by Coble for 29 years. On the Democratic side, challenger Laura Field of Hillsborough has served 5 years as vice president and general counsel for the UNC system. Another Democrat to file for the race is Guilford County Commissioner Bruce Davis. In the District 23 race for North Carolina State Senate, Valerie Fushi has filed to maintain the seat formerly held by Ellie Kinnaird, who retired last year. Fushi's appointed House 50 replacement, Chapel Hill Carborough School Administrator Greg Meyer, will defend his seat against one Republican challenger so far. That is Lewis Hanna, a retired bank executive from Eflint. Democrat Verla Insko of Chapel Hill has filed to keep the District 56 seat she's held in the North Carolina House since 1997. Jim Woodall, a Democrat, is running for re-election as district attorney for Orange and Chatham counties. Carl Fox and Alan Bedour have both filed to keep their jobs as Superior Court judges for that same district. Commissioner Barry Jacobs, a Democrat, is making his bid to hold his at-large seat. He'll officially be fending off Democratic challenger Bonnie Hauser. Democrat Mia Burrows, vice chair of the Chapel Hill-Carborough School Board, is running for retiring Commissioner Alice Gordon's seat. Green builder Mark Markopoulos of Orange County is running against fellow Democrat and incumbent Earl McKee for the District 2 commissioner's seat. Orange School Board Chair Donna Coffey and fellow member Brenda Stevens have both signed the papers for another term. Carborough Planning Board Chair Bethany Cheney will run in a special election May 6th to fill the Board of Aldermen seat left vacant by the election of Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Teresa Watson has also filed in that race. Democrats Larry Fawcett, Buddy Parker, Andy Cagle, Keith Webster, and David Caldwell Jr. have all filed to run for Orange County Sheriff to replace longtime Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass, who is retiring. Others expected to file for election during the last half of the election filing period, including Charles Blackwood, who has said that he is running for sheriff but has not filed. It is 8:15 at WCHL, and time now for Traffic and Weather Together. This traffic report is brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service and Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. What a concept to do your service work while you sleep. They're also open on Sundays, the service department there. Now, with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you, Ron. Traffic getting a little heavier here as we are fully into rush hour right now. 15501 northbound between Columbia and Manning, seeing heavy delays. Further northbound between Manning and NC-54, seeing some delays as well, just minor to moderate there. NC-54 westbound between I-40 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing heavy delays. NC-54 eastbound in that same area, that is between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, seeing some minor delays. 15501 northbound and southbound between Ephesus Church Road and Garrett Road through the I-40 interchange, seeing some delays right now, just minor delays there. Estes Drive heading westbound between Franklin Street and MLK, seeing some minor delays right now as well. No accidents reported. I-40 moving smoothly. The Durham Freeway moving pretty well as well. You might see some delays northbound as you approach downtown. Otherwise, things moving pretty much all right. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
And again, today you've done a good job holding down the reins of the traffic problems.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Fairly light day, but some delays out there.
And potential for some bad stuff to happen if we get more rain.
Very true.
And boy, it was really coming down this morning.
That's right.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Talk to you in just a little while here. Rand Northam out of the newsroom this morning, doing a myriad of things this morning on WCHL. Your Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Berkeley Grimble and the folks at Grimble Jewelers in Chapel Hill. Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's on Elliott Road. They're right there in the Village Plaza next door to Whole Foods. It is 53 degrees and wet this morning. We've had quite a bit of rain already. Some storm activity during the wee hours of the morning. Expect a chance of thunderstorms more this morning, and then a slight chance of just plain old rain in the afternoon. High today about 70 degrees. Going to feel like springtime out there. Going to be kind of windy, too, with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain for the rest of the day is about 60%. Now, tonight, partly cloudy with a low down around 43. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of showers in the afternoon tomorrow with a high of about 68 or 69. Tomorrow night, we'll go down to the upper 50s, and that's it. And then on Friday, showers to the tune of 100% on Friday, with a high in the middle 60s. So that's our forecast for the next couple of days, and sounds like it could potentially get a little bit wet. News around town this morning, UNC is hosting the 2014 Global American South Conference on Friday and Saturday at the FedEx Global Education Center. The conference is entitled Cities, Rivers, and Cultures of Change, Rethinking and Restoring the Environments of the Global American South. It'll focus on topics like water usage, immigration, urbanization, and other factors affecting the development of the American South. The conference is free and open to the public. For a full schedule, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Tomorrow, historian Michael Geyer will be on the UNC campus to discuss the legacy of World War I in a free public lecture. It's a 2014 Mary Stevens Rutherford Memorial Lecture, sponsored by UNC's Institute for the Arts and Humanities. 2014 is a 100-year anniversary of the start of World War I. Geyer's talk will take place at 7:30 tomorrow night in Girard Hall. A question and answer session, reception, and book signing to follow. That's pretty much what's happening around news around town this morning on WCHL. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll have Art Chansky talking about what's going on with women's basketball in Chapel Hill. And we're talking not just Carolina, but we're talking about what's happening at Chapel Hill High School as well. You certainly want to stay tuned for that. Also, the voice of the Tar Heels coming up. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We're one day away from the highly anticipated Duke Carolina basketball contest, the one that was supposed to take place last week and didn't because of the snow. Last week's winter storm forced a postponement of the game. The weather forecast certainly looks a lot better for this one. WCHL's Matt Oakes has the story on the matchup between the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils.
The surging North Carolina men's basketball team, winners of seven straight, takes center stage Thursday in primetime for a 9 p.m. tip-off in the Smith Center against arch-rival Duke. One of the keys to the game will be how the Tar Heels fare from the free throw line. Head coach Roy Williams says he was pleased with junior James Michael McAdoo's improvement from the foul line.
I never get too high or too low about free throws because there's always another day. We keep working on them every day, but I think that James Mike's had to make him feel better. It made his gray-haired old coach feel better. So hopefully his mom and dad and me are the ones that sit over there and we're saying prayers and doing everything.
McAdoo says the upswing in success for the Tar Heels has ultimately come down to the consistent defensive pressure they're applying to their opponents.
I think the biggest thing is probably just our sense of urgency on defense, but with that, just being disciplined and then just being really sound. Coach uses that word a lot, and I think that really just has to do with, you know, 1 through 5 playing together. So I think that's the biggest thing, just really trying to get the defense or get the offense, you know, out of their rhythm.
Sophomore Marcus Page agrees with McAdoo's sentiments. He says the improved defense has helped the offense gain some traction.
Aside from the effort, which we've talked about a lot, you know, just increasing our activity and effort on defense, we've been working a lot on guarding the ball and staying in front of the ball so we don't have to have guys help. And I think the fact that we've done a better job doing that has allowed our defense to be a little more successful, so guys aren't always in scrambles and rotations, and guys are just defending the ball better, so that's definitely helped.
Despite the winning streak, Coach Williams says he's hesitant to predict the future success of the team, but he says mentally it's easy to build off the momentum of winning.
You know, and I've said before, the more you make, the more you make. It's in golf, the more putts you make, the more you make. I'm not saying that I don't like this, but I'm sure as a Dickens not going to say, oh, we're going to win the next 26. But I like the way we're doing some things, and I think that the kids have gotten more confident, and I think that's a huge part of it.
Coach Williams says the sense of urgency is palpable in his team right now. He says Carolina isn't taking any game for granted and that it is making the difference as the Tar Heels close out the season.
Now we're playing and every game is important to us. Those our first 4 or 5 ACC games, we were 1-4, and those games were really important. But as you're saying, you know, down the stretch, you want to be a confident team, and I think that's helping us playing well.
The Tar Heels will find out a little bit more about themselves tomorrow in a measuring stick contest against the Blue Devils. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
823 at WCHL. Jones Angel, the voice of the Tar Heels, joins us now. And Jones, I certainly hope that we don't get any inclement weather tomorrow night because I want the Blue Devils to make it over to the Dean Smith Center and we can actually play this game. It's been postponed for a week. Now all the preliminaries are out of the way. Boy, this one has all the makings of a really banner game for both teams.
Yeah, and interesting, Ryan. You know, both teams have played twice since they were supposed to play last week. And, yeah, both have been successful in both games. And Duke looked good last night and taking care of Georgia Tech down in Atlanta. And, of course, the Blue Devils also beat Maryland in that really hotly contested game in Durham this past weekend. And I think Carolina's had maybe its two best wins in conference play since it was supposed to play Duke last week, getting the win at home against Pittsburgh and then the road victory on Monday night at Florida State. So both teams still kind of on the same trajectory that they were on last week, which is playing well, getting some wins, and now set to play each other. At least we hope so, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Jones, you got the best seat in the house, and we all depend on you to tell us what's happening on the court. And I know that this team has been fun to watch as it has evolved. And that's the best way I can put it. It's been kind of an evolution for this Carolina basketball team.
Yeah, it has been fun to watch this team grow a little bit. And I still think, Ron, that there's plenty of things that they can improve on. There's no question about that. But I do think it has been fun to watch them kind of learn what their roles are, the best ways that they can play together, and figure out ways that with the current composition of players that they have, how they can be the most successful. And you know, Roy Williams talked about it a little bit last night on his radio show, just how he did think that once the team found out that P.J. Harrison was not going to be joining them this year, that it did take a little bit of an adjustment period. And he specifically mentioned Marcus Paige as a player who really had to kind of accept what his role was going to be and figure out the best way to attack it from that point moving forward. And you know, I think as we've gone farther and farther away from when that decision became final, I think you've seen the team get more comfortable with who they are, who they have, and the best way they can play. And it's been fun to watch them kind of understand that and continue to get better in what they do well.
Well, Jones, we look forward to hearing your play-by-play tomorrow night, 9 o'clock game, Smith Center, Carolina and Duke, and we hope to talk to you during our countdown to tip-off as well, which starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Sounds good, Ron. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Have a great day, buddy. Again, Carolina basketball coming up tomorrow night right here on WCHL, Carolina and Duke. There's some important high school basketball action that's taking place around the community. Five local high school basketball teams are taking top seeds into the 3A Big 8 Conference Tournament, which tips off tonight. WCHL's Rand Northam has details on what's happening.
The undefeated Chapel Hill High School girls host county rival Orange in the opening round. Cedar Ridge plays host in the 3-versus-5 matchup, while Northwood hosts Southern Durham in the 4-5 contest. On the boys' side, the Orange Panthers and Chapel Hill Tigers split the regular season championship with 12-2 records in Big 8 play. The Panthers took both games against the Tigers, and as the number one seed, host Northern Vance tonight in the opening round. Chapel Hill plays host to Northwood. Chapel Hill is the host of this year's tournament championship for the girls and boys, and Friday night's contests tip at 5:30 and 7 o'clock. You can hear them live on WCHL and Chapelboro.com with pregame coverage beginning at 5 o'clock. To see the complete breakdown of the girls and boys 3A Big 8 Conference tournaments, you can find this story on our website, Chapelboro.com. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thanks, Rand. The Carborough Jaguars boys and girls basketball teams are moving on to the second round of the 2A Mid-State Conference Tournament after double-digit wins on their home court last night. The number 3 seed boys defeated Bartlett Yancey 75-63. Round 2 sends the Jags to Cummings High School in Burlington tonight for a 7:30 tip-off against the number 2 seed Graham Red Devils. Carborough dropped both regular season meetings with Graham 78-68 on the road and 47-42 in Carborough. The number 3 seed girls took down Graham for the third time this season last night in the Mid-State opening round, 67-43. The Jaguar girls have a quick turnaround as well and will face the number 2 seed Cummings Cavaliers tonight in Burlington. That game starts at 6 p.m. on the Cavs' home court. A win propels the team to the championship round, which will be played Friday night at Cummings High School. The girls' game tips off at 6 p.m. The boys follow with a scheduled tip at 7:30. To see the complete breakdown of the girls and boys 2A Mid-State Conference tournaments, you can find the story on our website, chapelboro.com. You can also find a story on the Tar Heel women's swimming and diving team taking the plunge on today at the Greensboro Aquatic Center for a shot at the ACC Conference title. Ranked number 10 in the country, Carolina had lost only twice in dual meet competition this season. Head coach Rich DeSelm will be aiming to bring back a championship trophy to Chapel Hill and end a long drought for UNC Standards. Tar Heels have captured a conference leading 16 titles, but last one at ACC crowned way back in 2007. This year, the scoring format has changed. Instead of only the top 16 competitors counting, the scoring of all 24 participants will go towards their team's total. A live video stream of all the event finals can be found on the ACC.com Thursday through Saturday from 7 till 9 p.m. There's something very special going on with the Carolina women's basketball team as well. Art Chansky will talk about that and the Chapel Hill High School girls basketball team as well on today's Sports Notebook. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Don't look now, but our town is going Lady Gaga over basketball. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Two remarkable stories are fighting their way onto the front pages and list of lead stories here in town. The Chapel Hill High School Lady Tigers have completed a 22-0 regular season and enter the conference and state 3A playoffs as odds-on favorites to capture the state title they missed by one victory last season and the second of celebrated coach Sherry Norris's career. They finished the regular schedule unblemished by putting away dangerous Cardinal Gibbons with a third-quarter run Monday night behind Catherine Romaine's 14 points and 11 from Jamella Smith. But Norris has a complete team this season with contributions from the entire lineup, including a quality bench. With more than 500 victories as Chapel Hill's basketball coach, not to mention over 700 wins in volleyball, Norris would put an exclamation mark on her 35-year career by bringing another state title back to the campus on High School Road. Not to be upstaged by these prep phenoms, the UNC women are rolling toward the ACC and NCAA tournaments and getting better with every outing. Playing for head coach Sylvia Hatchell, who has missed the season undergoing treatment for leukemia, the Tar Heels of interim coach Andrew Calder have now gone into Cameron Indoor Stadium and Reynolds Coliseum and knocked off both the favored Blue Devils and Wolfpack, and doing it with both veracity and verve. Too bad for the rest of the ACC that Diamond DeShields is just a freshman, as the daughter of a former major league pitcher has great control over her outside shot, hitting 5 of 9 three-pointers while scoring 27 of her UNC freshman record 38 points in the second half at state. Fellow Frosh Alicia Gray added 18 as the Lady Heels climbed the national polls and ACC standings. A week ago, they posted their first win in 6 years at number 3 Duke, with the Shields putting up a big 3-0. The Tar Heel men get most attention this time of the year, but both of these women's teams look to have as good a chance of winning a 2014 conference championship as Roy Williams continues to bring his young Tar Heels along. Kudos to UNC's Calder for developing his team's toughness and togetherness as the Heels head down the home stretch. And for the hometown Tigers, Sherry Norris, you go, coach. Bring home another state crown. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Meet the brokers at Weaver Street Realty. Bill Mullen and Don Basnight are both native Chapel Hillians who've seen our community through a half century of changes. Their advice is gold. Louise Barnum moves easily from muddy boots to city shoes in her pursuit to meet her clients' needs. Jay Parker is the broker in charge, having developed a loyal client base in 30 years of business. Gary Phillips and Clayton Nell are the oldest and youngest members of the team, combining experience and intelligence to bring a fresh perspective to every situation. Check them all out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
If you're over 60 and young at heart, you're looking for more than just a place to live out your years. You're looking for the Cedars of Chapel Hill. Our unique community in Metamot offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles, so you can pursue other goals and also enjoy the peace of mind of having a continuing health care plan in place. Make your next chapter in life your best chapter. Call us to learn more about the Cedars. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
The following 10 seconds of a yodeling pickle is brought to you by Cameron's, now at 300 East Main Street in Carrboro. The previous 10 seconds of a yodeling pickle was brought to you by Cameron's, a gallery of gifts, jewelry, cards, and highly entertaining off-the-wall stuff. Cameron's, now at 300 East Main Street in Carrboro. Cameron's, a wonderland of gifts.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Oasis at Carmel. Save half off, $20 worth of food and drinks, available now for $10. Oasis is located in downtown Carrboro in Carmel. But at night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. Oasis features organic coffees, aromatic teas, wines and beers, homemade pastries, chocolates, quiches, and more. Many options are also vegetarian, vegan, and or gluten-free. It's half off from Oasis. It's available for limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
833 at WCHL. We have 53 degrees in Chapel Hill. Mostly cloudy today. Showers likely. We've already had some thunderstorm activity. We could get more. Slight chance of just plain old rain in the afternoon. High today about 70 degrees. It's going to be like springtime. Some strong winds kicking up later on in the day as well. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance for showers later today. And the high tomorrow in the upper 60s. So it's going to get rather wet, folks.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
834 at WCHL, I'm Rod Stutz. Slow zones might soon be coming to downtown Carrboro. The Board of Aldermen gave the go-ahead last night for town staff to go ahead and explore the feasibility of the proposed traffic calming areas, which some have said would reduce the number of pedestrian and bike-involved vehicle collisions. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more on the story.
Traffic calming and slow zones, this kind of concept on average produces crash reductions of about 30% according to the literature, and a lot of that just deals with being able to maneuver and stop quickly, so you see higher rates of yielding to pedestrians.
That's Seth Lajeunesse, chair of the Carrboro Transportation Advisory Board. He explained that a slow zone is a small area with well-defined boundaries, setting average vehicular speeds of about 20 miles per hour. The zones are placed in areas with high pedestrian and bicycle activity and/or a history of vehicle accidents with pedestrians and bicycles. The majority of pedestrian collisions in Carrboro happen along East Main Street, between Lloyd Street and Greensboro Street, and in the intersections in that area, including Weaver Street and Main Street. Lajeunesse explained that this is the area in which the Transportation Advisory Board hopes to implement the slow zone. Designating the zones has been accomplished in other cities by constructing artistic gateway designs. The goal is to distinguish these areas, signaling to drivers that they are entering into a new traffic zone and should slow down. Carrboro Alderperson Jackie Giss said that the Carrboro Arts Committee is working on designs currently that she believed would work for the gateway fixtures and would be a way to promote local artists. Giss added that she supported the idea of slow zones, but she wanted town staff to also include downtown businesses in the discussion and planning phases for the project.
I don't want it to be something that your downtown businesses, this is what we're doing to you. Would rather have it be that it's something that the downtown businesses feel that they're a part of and that they're doing it with us.
Other measures that complement slow zones are lead pedestrian intervals, bike corrals, and curb extensions. Carrboro already offers bike corrals in locations across downtown. Though these additions would come at a high cost to the town, Lajeunesse said that he believed the safety and economic benefits would be worthwhile. He predicted calmer streets in the zones that would promote lingering and socializing in the area and result in more business for local shops. Alderperson Randy Haven O'Donnell supported the idea of pedestrian signals, but pointed out that Chapel Hill controls Carrboro stoplights, so coordination efforts would be necessary.
I think it's inexpensive enough, and it's important enough, and it's a great way to enculturate folks about wait time.
Slow zones are popular across New York City and in parts of Europe as well. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And in other news this morning on WCHL, the Rogers Road remediation plan has been in the works for nearly 2 years now, but recently the town of Chapel Hill and Orange County each took steps to move the plan forward. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Last night, Orange County commissioners unanimously signed off on an operating agreement for the yet-to-be-built Rogers Road Community Center. Once completed, the facility will be operated by the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or RENA. Minister Robert Campbell is the president of RENA. He told the board this is an important step forward for the neighborhood.
We have an opportunity to bring a community into the future. For our children, in the summertime, they have nowhere to go. But here we have an opportunity to help shape and mold them right here in the community.
Commissioners committed $650,000 back in January of 2013 to build the center on land donated by Habitat for Humanity. But the project was delayed last fall when construction bids came in over budget. County staffers say the building has been redesigned and the rebidding process should be complete by April. The community center is part of a remediation plan agreed on by representatives from RENA, Orange County, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro to help make amends to the neighborhood that bore the burden of the county and municipal landfill for 40 years. The plan also includes extending sewer service to 86 parcels in the Rogers Road neighborhood at an estimated cost of approximately $5.8 million. Carrboro has already set aside its portion of the total, about $900,000. Chapel Hill, however, is struggling to find a way to pay its share as the area is outside of town limits. Town staffers are currently investigating the possibility of creating a new utility district or extending the town's extraterritorial jurisdiction to include Rogers Road.
In the meantime, the Chapel Hill Town Council voted last week to spend up to $77,400 on preliminary engineering studies and community outreach to determine exactly where sewer lines should go. Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt said this is work that will need to be done no matter what.
What this does is this moves the ball, even though commissioners and council members just keep talking.
The engineering studies and outreach are expected to take up to 10 months to complete. The Chapel Hill Town Council will revisit the question of extraterritorial jurisdiction on June 16th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
As fallout continues from the UNC athletic scandal around the nation, the situation is being watched closely by observers and critics of big-time college athletics as a whole. One of those observers is Taylor Branch, a University of North Carolina graduate and Pulitzer Prize-winning author who's recently written a book entitled The Cartel, that's highly critical of the NCAA. Branch weighed in on the Mary Willingham situation last week with Carolina Connections' Daniel Shear, saying he can't independently vouch for Willingham's assertions about athletes struggling to read, but defending Willingham nonetheless for her willingness to come forward.
I think she's a courageous person, and I can't imagine that she would make up this evidence. Again, I'm not speaking to validate it, but I do speak to her character and motivation. I think she's trying to protect the academic integrity of the university, and I don't think it's right for people at the university to denigrate or question her motives. Frankly, that's common. It's certainly happened because, unfortunately, most people care more about the sports program than they do about the academic integrity of the school.
Mary Willingham has stated that she's not trying to attack the athletes themselves, that in fact she sees the athletes as the victims, exploited by the college athletics industry in general and the NCAA in particular. Brandt says he agrees with that wholeheartedly.
The NCAA turns the logical world upside down like Alice in Wonderland by saying, in fact, it's in their bylaws that it would exploit college athletes if they were to receive any compensation for their work. The dictionary definition of exploiting even mentions unpaid workers as an example of exploiting them if you don't pay them. The NCAA says you exploit them if you do.
You can listen to Taylor Branch's full interview with Carolina Connection's Daniel Shear online at carolinaconnection.org. Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It's put together entirely by Carolina students. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 right here on WCHL during the school year. Federal officials say toxic coal ash has coated the bottom of a North Carolina river up to 70 miles downstream of a Duke Energy dump where a massive spill occurred a couple of weeks ago. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service advised on Tuesday that a massive bar of coal ash about 75 feet long and as much as 5 feet deep has been detected on the bottom of the Dan River near the site of the February 2nd spill. Deposits varying from 5 inches deep to less than 1 inch coated the river bottom across the state line into Virginia and to Carr Lake, a major reservoir. Federal authorities are concerned the toxic contaminants will negatively affect mussels and fish. Public health officials have advised people to avoid contact with the water altogether. WCHL News Time, 8:42. Coming up, a commentary on the way from Barry Jacobs. He says Orange County is committed to agriculture. Also, you're going to hear from D.G. Martin in just a few minutes on WCHL.
It stands among the greatest of violin concertos. For nearly two centuries, its melodies have delighted and its virtuosity astonished. Hear the dazzling Karen Gomio and the North Carolina Symphony in Mendelssohn's sparkling violin concerto. Also, James Gaffigan conducts music from Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake. Tickets start at just $18. Call 919-733-2750 or go to Ticketmaster.com. February 27th in Chapel Hill at UNC's Memorial Hall, and the 28th and March 1st at Maimandy Concert Hall. Tchaikovsky and Mendelssohn with your North Carolina Symphony.
A 2013 independent survey conducted by Home Care Pulse ranked HomeWatch caregivers of the Triangle significantly higher than the industry standard in compassion, knowledge, reliability, flexibility, and overall quality of service. For 10 years, HomeWatch Caregivers has helped over 2,000 families in our community, providing hourly and 24-hour personal care to people of all ages with all types of needs. Visit us online at homewatchcaregivers.com or give us a call, 919-960-6038. HomeWatch Caregivers, let our family care for yours.
Not only does Tobacco Road Sports Cafe offer great food and infinite sports, you can like them on Facebook for a chance to win two tickets to the Carolina Duke rematch March 8th at Cameron Indoor Stadium. The winner will also be in a shooting contest at halftime to win $10,000. So like them on Facebook today. Tobacco Road features fresh, local ingredients, an array of down-home classics, and gourmet entrees, plus a great selection of North Carolina beers on tap. Your destination for March Madness, Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54.
What I like about Diamonds Direct the most is that Diamonds Direct is truly a diamond importer.
Paul Tekorian, president of Tekori, the most sought-after engagement rings in America, talking about Diamonds Direct.
They have the largest selection of diamonds that you're going to find anywhere, and they have a huge selection of designer engagement rings.
And that selection, says Paul, is critical for guys.
Guys are going to spend a lot of money on a ring, and 70% of women don't like the engagement ring that they have because it's just a plain, generic ring. They want something that's beautiful, unique, and differentiates them from everyone. Else.
Diamonds Direct is proud to be a Tekori Platinum Partner with handcrafted unique designer rings, unbeatable value, and a world-class shopping experience.
Every single person that works in this store, when you come in, you'll see, has such a great passion for helping and informing the customers. What makes Diamonds Direct unique amongst all retailers across North America is that they truly have the largest selection of diamonds that they directly import. And they have every single designer under the sun that you can imagine in their store.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree, outside Crabtree Valley Mall across from Fleming's, official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Wake up every morning with one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, Ron Stutz in the Morning News. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning. It is 8:45, 53 degrees and wet in Chapel Hill.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Barry Jacobs, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. Orange County is a leader in North Carolina and beyond in recognizing the importance of agriculture as a part of our economy, our culture, and our commitment to protecting open space. From a wealth of farmers' markets to a valued food processing center, from fresh foods in our restaurants to an embrace of agritourism, from funding farmland conservation easements to a program to train new farmers, Orange County is determined to cultivate our local agricultural economy. As tobacco and other traditional crops have receded as reliable sources of revenue, the county has brought folks together to share new strategies, ideas, and opportunities that can help to keep farm operations viable. That's the purpose of our 16th Annual Agricultural Summit, to be held this year on February 25th at the Maple View Agricultural Center, just down the road from the popular Maple View ice cream store. This year's summit offers a chance for farmers and other interested residents to discuss the important agricultural issues of our time. And in this case, at least, there's an opportunity to enjoy an honest-to-goodness free lunch, featuring locally grown foods, of course. We're serious about our commitment to agriculture and to advancing a comprehensive approach to sustainable development, good environmental stewardship, and preserving a key component of our rich quality of life. To register, call Cooperative Extension at 919-245-2059. We hope you'll join us. This is Barry Jacobs.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It is time again for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. Savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Well, traffic has been moving along pretty smoothly this morning, despite the wetness of the roads out there. We had some thunderstorm activity early this morning, and really it left everything wet, and we're expecting a big possibility of more rain later in the day, which could mean that the roads will stay rather slick. So just please drive with a little extra caution today. But as it is, things looking pretty good. You can call the newsroom, 919-967-8363, anytime, and be a WCHL road warrior. Report on what you see out there. And you can also tweet us at WCHL. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, brought to you by WCHL Championship Sports. It's a big week. Tomorrow night, the big game, the redo, Carolina and Duke at the Dean Smith Center. Tip time is scheduled for 9 o'clock. WCHL's comprehensive coverage begins at 7 o'clock with a special hour-long edition of Countdown to Tip-Off. Tar Heels and the Blue Devils coming tomorrow night, Dean Smith Center. You will hear it right here on WCHL. And as I mentioned, we're expecting more rain today. Strong winds as well, gust up to 30 miles per hour later on in the afternoon. Chance of more rain is 60%. We've had quite a bit already, and a slight chance of rain pretty much all day. High today about 70 degrees, spring-like temperatures. Tonight, we're looking at partly cloudy skies with lows in the low 40s, nowhere close to freezing. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of showers in the afternoon. High tomorrow, about 68 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of rain, probably late. Overnight low in the upper 50s. Also, windy again. And then on Friday, the proverbial rainy day. 100% chance of rain, especially in the morning, with a high in the middle 60s on Friday. 849 at WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Down east in North Carolina might not mean what you think it means. If you, like many politicians, reporters, and TV announcers, think it just describes all of North Carolina east of I-95. No! Listen to Larry Early, author of The Workboats of Coarse Sound, Stories and Photographs of a Changing World. Early learned while photographing those workboats down east that down east North Carolina refers specifically to, quote, the wet peninsula lying east of Beaufort in coastal Carteret County, with its broad skies, extravagant marshes, shallow sounds, and notched bays. The result of Early's time down east is his book. It's called The Workboats of Coarse Sound, and it's an extraordinary collection of writing and photographs of the working boats that watermen, mainly fishermen, and shrimpers have used for the past century in Coarse Sound. Each little community down there had its own master boat builder, and each crafted his boats just a little bit differently so that the coastal people could look at a Coarse Sound fishing boat and tell you where and by whom it was built. Early fell in love with the boats and the people who built and operated them. He said, though made of perishable wood, the old work boats of Coarse Sound are surely one of the glories of the Down East region. They are monuments to some of the best of all human impulses, to work hard, to wrest elegant designs out of stubborn materials, and to craft things of utility and beauty. They are the history keepers, the memory keepers, in a region that is looking to the future. They are compass points for communities seeking a new direction. Well, this new direction is not welcome. Fishing is fast disappearing from down east. Lifelong fisherman Danny Mason explained, "It's hard to find a crew, and the price of fuel is going sky high, and the things we sell it, well, it seems they don't go up much." And John Paul Lewis said it more tersely, "It's all changed, and the fish business is history." Or Alton Chadwick, "You can't get nothing for what you catch no more. All the fish houses are closed now. Everything's gone. You got to go away from here now to get a job, and I'm too old for that." In the little community of Atlantic where Early spent a lot of time, Fulcher's Fish House was the economic backbone of that village, once employing 50 full-time and 50 more seasonal employees, and once processing millions of pounds of fish and crabs and shrimp. It closed in 2007. Well, the working boats that Early photographed so beautifully are disappearing too. Some the victims of old storms and others just abandoned and dismantled. Times change. Early's photographs document, though, and celebrate a way of life that is passing away, and he admires those watermen and their boats even as their way of life disappears. He says, "In retrospect, what may be more significant about the changing economic life of Down East communities today is not that the fishermen are turning to other ways of making a living, but that so many have survived as fishermen for so long. This is D.G. Martin.
Oh, thank you so much, D.G. It is 8:53 at WCHL. Hey, you remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond? A really interesting word today. It begins with an E. If you can remember the word, and if you know how to spell it, and if you can give me the definition, I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. The word of the day, always brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? And your number to call right now is 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Jim Alexander is an extraordinary volunteer for Orange County Animal Services.
He started volunteering at the animal shelter in 2009. He has been here ever since. He started out walking our dogs and socializing our dogs, and then he just started doing everything else, and he has gone from dog walker, socializer, to helping me do orientation and trainings, and he helps with our rabies clinics. He does special events, and he also does outreach, anything and everything that we need him to do, he will do. He's like a point person for new people when they come into the shelter. They can go to him. He'll walk them through a day at the shelter if they're volunteering with dogs, and he's offered a whole lot to us in our time of need.
Sarah Fallon says when he comes to work, he sometimes even brings treats for everybody else.
Gets his wife to make cookies, and he's a member of the Kiwanis, and sometimes they'll have a breakfast or they'll have some activity, and he'll bring over in leftover bagels and things like that.
Jim Alexander is today's WCHL hometown hero. Is it because he loves dogs so much, or he just wants to volunteer his time to help?
I think it's a little of both. He has adopted an animal from us. He has another dog at home, but he really enjoys being with animals and likes the work that we do here, and he fits in well. And I think, you know, he gets along with staff and other volunteers, and so, and he's a take charge type person, so volunteers can go to him when they can't find me. And so I think he really enjoys volunteering here as well as just giving back to the community.
Jim Alexander gives so freely of his time and efforts for Orange County Animal Services, but he has a busy life already.
He has a wife and two kids, but they're both away. I think they both graduated college, have jobs. He used to be of one of our local newspapers, and he is not doing that anymore. But I know that he does work with Duke University when they need him. Every Tuesday afternoon, he comes in and walks dogs, and he does meet and greet and adoption counseling on Tuesdays. And then he does special events as they come by. He does, like I said, most of our rabies clinic. And then he usually picks one or two or three Saturdays that he takes our animals out into our community, which we call outreach.
Our thanks to Sarah Fallon for the nomination, and congratulations, Jim Alexander. Thank you for all you do for Orange County Animal Services. Jim is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Congratulations to Jason Smith, who called in with the word of the day on WCHL. It is Ely Mussinary, Ely Mussinary, Ely Mussinary. It's all about charity, supporting or relating to supporting charity. And I guess it could mean charitable, or perhaps close to a synonym with philanthropic. But Ely Mussinary is our word of the day. Jason gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's 8:57 at WCHL.
Come to Dickie's and try our new buttery cornbread sandwiches. Like it spicy? Try our chicken. Like it sweet? Try our southern pulled pork. All our meats are hickory smoked every day. The buttery cornbread sandwiches are only here for a short time, so try them today. Decide which one you like best and vote on our website for a chance to win free barbecue for a year. Sweet or spicy, you decide. Only at Dickie's. Dickie's, where kids always eat free on Sunday and everyone gets free ice cream every day. See web for details. Located in Durham off Mount Moriah Road, also in Cary and downtown Raleigh in the Red Hat Building.
The 2014 Healthiest You Challenge presented by UNC Healthcare is officially underway. Our 2014 challengers have begun their six-week journey to improve health and wellness and will get the chance to work out at the amazing facilities at the UNC Wellness Centers in Menomont and their newest location in Cary. A big thank you to our sponsors, UNC Healthcare,
Care. UNC Wellness Centers at Meadowmont and in Cary. Massage Envy Spa Eastgate. Massage Envy Spa South Point. The UPS Store, Chapel Hill North, Fordham, and Meadowmont. Chimneys Plus and Gutter Solutions, Twig and Cameron's. Today's offer at OwlLocalDeal.com is from Oasis at Carmel. Save half off, $20 worth of food and drinks, available now for $10. Oasis is located in downtown Carrboro in Carmel. But at night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. Oasis features organic coffees, aromatic teas, wines and beers, homemade pastries, chocolates, quiches, and more. Many options are also vegetarian, vegan, and or gluten-free. It's half off from Oasis. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at DurhamTech.com.
Edu. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees and guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. It's 53 degrees and wet in Chapel Hill, mostly cloudy today. Showers likely, a slight chance of thunderstorms this morning. We've already had one. A slight chance for showers in the afternoon. High today about 70 degrees. And some strong winds kicking up later on in the day. 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 42 degrees.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapane. Forecasters were looking for a sharp drop in home building last month, and they got it. A report out a short time ago says work on new homes and apartments plunged 16% in January, on top of December's almost 5% drop. Economist Nigel Galt suspects bad weather was largely to blame.
I think it's really going to be the spring before we get a clear picture. But I think the underlying trend is still getting better.
More homeowners are complaining about mortgage issues. CBS's Vicki Barker is live with that.
Some of the same banks that had to pay out over bungled foreclosures offloaded many of their problem loans to firms known as servicers. Just one problem, says industry expert Guy Sakala.
Servicers were never set up to provide customer service. It was mostly a process